Have you ever been a mentor to someone? Have you ever been mentored by someone? If so, whatever side of the relationship you were on, I'm going to guess it probably changed your life. January is National Mentoring Month, and this episode, we're going to turn our attention to the voices and the stories of young Baltimoreans. The young folks we're going to hear from are all benefiting from mentors right now through a network called Maryland Mentor. But these young people have got life lessons of their own to teach a willing ear of any age.
Don't let your past determine your future. Don't let that make you as a person. You got to make you.
My confidence is one of my best trophies that I carry. Knowing that I had a great purpose was all I needed.
Trouble, easy to get into, hard to get out of. But luckily enough, you know, I made a different 10-second decision, you know, that got me where I'm at today.
God sent his toughest battles for his strongest soldiers. So that's what I live off of.
Young Wisdom, coming up on Out of the Blocks, right after this. From WYPR and PRX, it's Out of the Blocks. I'm Aaron Henkin, and I have got a co-producer for this episode that I want to introduce you to right off the bat. His name is Sadiq Ali. He runs a youth mentoring program here in Baltimore. And Sadiq, thanks for helping to make this episode happen.
You know, I'm so excited about the result and just getting these young people's voices out there. That's what it's about.
Let's talk about the idea behind this episode, about showcasing youth voices in Baltimore at this moment, about what they can teach us and why we need to listen.
Absolutely. You know, I think there's been a growing movement in youth development over these last several years, this idea of nothing about us without us, right? That we can't continue as adults to have conversations about what it's like to be a young person or what young people need or what young people are up against without including the voices of young people. And I think that's especially important as it pertains to storytelling, you know, because stories are what give data soul. And I'm just a strong believer in allowing people to tell their own stories, especially our young people.
Sadiq, let me have you say a little bit more about your background and the perspective that you're coming to this from. Talk about Maryland Mentor, what it is, what you guys do.
Absolutely. So Maryland Mentor is a statewide affiliate of the National Mentoring Partnership. So we act as a trainer, a partner, a resource to the hundreds of different mentoring programs across the state, and including close to like 100 different programs here in Baltimore City alone. So you can almost think of us as mentors for mentoring programs. So we really exist to make sure that mentoring programs have what they need to do their work well on behalf of young people.
So we're about to hear stories from five different young Baltimoreans from all over the city. This is not like a usual episode of this podcast where everybody's from the same block, but these young people are all connected in a sense through you. Talk about these young adults, how you connected with them, how you reached out to them, and maybe tell the story of how we taped this episode. We did this over a stretch of time.
That's right. That's right. Which is, again, so 2020 in terms of, you know, us needing to take the necessary precautions, et cetera. But let me answer the first part of your question, just in terms of how we were able to connect with these just amazing young people. So again, we shared this idea with some of our trusted program partners, and they made referrals for us to their young people. So we ended up putting together a plan, and we met weekly or every couple of weeks over at Morgan State University, right in front of Holmes Hall and a Frederick Douglass statue. My alma mater, Morgan State, shout out, Go Bears. But we literally set up shop. We had our lawn chairs, our stadium chairs right out there. Aaron, you brought the equipment, and we got it done. And I think I'm just really excited about the final product here.
Yeah, if you listen carefully to these interviews, you'll probably hear some cicadas in the background, maybe a little traffic noise. But we did it outside. We did it at a safe social distance. We took these interviews, just like we usually do on the podcast, and cut them into these audio portraits that have an original score by Wendell Patrick. First up, we're going to meet T'Andre.
Well, I grew up in West Baltimore, Maryland. I'm an athlete. I hoop. I play for my school. And the school, like, that I go to, for real, is Connections, Baltimore School for the Arts. And, like, I don't really be outside like that, though. Like, ever since the corona, stuff like that. Me, I had it. I had it, so I just thank God that I got rid of it. Once I had it, it made me look at it different, because I really ain't take it serious at first. People say it was like, oh, it's like a regular cold. Oh, it's like a regular sickness. That's not no regular sickness. It's like overboard, so I wouldn't wish that on nobody. I could barely breathe, so I knew something was wrong. When I had tried like to get up, I couldn't stand up. Like I had to, my mother would go get stuff for me. She'd try to fix stuff for me and make me eat it. But I couldn't eat it because it was a loss of taste. It make your taste go away too, so I couldn't even eat. So I knew something was wrong. Then I just went to the hospital. Then they found out I had corona. I was in the hospital for a week and a half. They gave me like IVs, and I still got the scars on my arm. They gave me these IVs and stuff, like that really helped me get back to my normal self because my heart rate was down, my blood pressure was down. Like I basically was on my deathbed, but they really helped me like get back. I was in the hospital for a week and a half. Then I had to quarantine for 2 weeks. Then I went back to the hospital. I got retested. They said I was negative.
Do you feel like different in any way on the other side of that experience?
Yeah, I feel different. Because I could say me not taking corona serious was me really taking life for granted. So I can say I really take my life serious now because I take corona serious. Because, like, once you got that, you got it. So, like, I was taking my life for granted. But it did change me, though. It opened my eyes more. I'm just thankful for everything now. But I'm way more humble now. So, like, it changed me in a lot of ways, though.
My name is Nadja Pierce, 19. Where I am in my life is truly just taking it day by day and embracing my past and my present to really cultivate my future.
You went to Western and you graduated, what, last year?
Yes.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What, how'd it feel to graduate?
It was amazing. It was probably top three best experiences of my life. High school was, it was a journey. It was a roller coaster. You know, Western is the oldest public all-girls school in the country. So it was a true honor being a Western woman and getting to experience something like that. By the end of my senior year, I just said, I talked to my mom and I was like, you know, I was looking at all my college acceptances, which was a miracle because my GPA wasn't that high. It was a miracle. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to go to college. I told her. And I was nervous because, you know, parents want you to go and further your education, get a good job, live a good life. It simply wasn't for me. All of my friends were nursing students. They were going in to be nurses and doctors, you know? So when you look at it juxtaposed, it's just kind of like, you know, go explore the world and be a model or be a nurse, you know? It was interesting. And she tilted her head for some time and was like, well, all right. And it wasn't until she was with me in New York Fashion Week. And I was being the butterfly that I am, you know. I made her step out and she got all dressed up. And I think it was that moment that she realized exactly what I was feeling about myself. As far as just the places that I'll go, the rooms that my name could possibly be in from that point on. And I have Western to thank for that. I lost my job shortly after I came back from LA Fashion Week. I came back, I was on my high horse, and then my job closed. I was a sales associate at Nordstrom's. I didn't know what to do. I felt purposeless, and being familiar with that feeling took me to a very familiar, unhappy place.
Are you comfortable talking about what you mean by that?
We can. So I was diagnosed with chronic depression and anxiety when I was 15. I had been dealing with it since I was 12. My parents divorced when I was 5. I am a suicide survivor. I tried to commit suicide at 16. And thinking back on it, when I talk to other young women about just loving yourself and finding yourself even when love doesn't present itself in places where you think it should, you know, i.e. your home and things like that, finding something to believe in, you know, a faith system is truly what brought me out of it because it wasn't hospitals, you know, it wasn't me feeling down. It was more so me finding something to keep going every day because it truly is a day-by-day process. I radiate what I've been through in one of the most beautiful ways possible because I kept going. Even when I thought I couldn't, I did it anyway. And I would encourage others to be that everlasting light as well. Well, I recently went and got a job at Panera Bread, just for the sake of being employed. When I thought about unemployment, I certainly didn't have the urge to. And so I really sat and thought about, well, why didn't I, when it was so accessible at that point?
You did some calculating, you did some soul searching, and you said, unemployment's not for me. I'm going to go find a job wherever and however I can.
Exactly.
And you found one.
I did. Yeah. My confidence is one of my best trophies that I carry, because I let it develop. You know, I didn't force it. And so once I grew into just knowing that I had a great purpose was all I needed. I didn't need answers. You know, I didn't need the specifics. And I think that's what makes it a little bit easier for me, really. It's not really wanting the instant gratification of, as soon as I do something, I'm expecting it to happen, you know? I always tell people, I account for the unknown. Embrace that and know that when you're faced with it, that you're gonna be able to get through it.
You're tuned to Out of the Blocks. Aaron Henkin here with Sadiq Ali. He runs the organization Maryland Mentor. And Sadiq, we're going to get to some more stories in just a minute. But first, let me ask you, like, when you and your volunteers, your mentors, work with these young folks, they're obviously learning something valuable from you. But I also imagine you're learning something valuable from them at the same time. What do you hear? What do you learn? How do you grow in the course of your own work with young people in Baltimore? How has it changed you as a person?
You know, personally, we always like to think of mentoring as a bi-directional relationship, right? This isn't just wise old person coming in and pouring in a bunch of knowledge, but absolutely approaching our young people, our proteges, with an open mind and a humble spirit in terms of what can they teach us. And I can just tell you, working with my mentees and my proteges, I've learned a lot of lessons just around better listening and humility. And to be honest, being a mentor makes me a better parent. That's one of my favorite things to share. You know, because I'm listening from a certain perspective, a non-judgmental perspective, right? And then when I come home and if I'm talking to my kids and I have a completely different perspective, I have to check myself. I have to call myself to make sure that I'm being consistent in my practice with all young people, not just because these young people are related to me or not related to me. So that is one other aspect. And I would just say, mentors in general, when we approach young people with the proper practice, and that is that open mind, that humble spirit, this practice of validating young people's experiences and not always looking to invalidate or show them the quote unquote right way, we just get so much out of our experiences with young people.
All right, we're going to get back to some more stories now. Next up, we're going to meet Davon.
I grew up here on the east side of Baltimore. One of my favorite memories was just, like, my grandmother had this daycare, and I'd just be over her house all the time. And, like, when we was younger, we could stay outside till 12, 1 o'clock and not have to worry about nothing. And it was just fun just to be outside all night playing basketball, talking, doing kid stuff. I grew up in a household with my mother, my sister, my brother, and my stepfather. Basically, he made me who I am today, learning from the bad and the good that he did, because he did good and bad. And I had to learn from the bad because he wasn't here my whole life. He got locked up when I was about 12, and I just chose not to go the street route and learn from his mistakes and not follow what he did. I go to Connections Academy School for the Arts. Be a senior this year. For COVID, I really liked school, but COVID came around and it was hard for me to learn from home. It's better when you in that atmosphere with that person and you can feel them, basically. So when COVID happened, I was just upset. Like, dang, it's no prom and I gotta be on Zoom and I can't. It ain't no more basketball, no baseball. But then you gotta take this serious. Like, you gonna have to sacrifice some things for this because you gotta be safe. So I just took the head on the chin and, you know, like everybody else there, you gotta make sacrifices for this to stay safe. Average day for me, I go to work. I go to work on Zoom and I go to work at Walmart. At Walmart, it's been a little scary because you never know who can walk in and what they can have, and then you around them and your coworkers is around them. It might be a day that you not there, but somebody with corona walked in and they around your coworkers, and now you gotta be around them. So it's kind of scary. Type of legacy I'm trying to build for myself is to be my own boss. I wanna make sure that my great-grandkids is set off me, wealthy. I don't even wanna be rich, I wanna be wealthy. I wanna make sure that my great-grandkids is eating off of what something that I did. Where I come from, we dying young, and I wanna be here to see my great-grandkids, you know. And me, I wanna own my own electrician business, and I'm talking about chains of electrician business, Baltimore, Philly, New York. I know that they see a young black educated man in a suit that is scaring more than you running around with a stick or rocks and throwing it at their car. They not afraid of that. It's millions of them. But if it's millions of us to come together and educate ourselves, that's when they start to fear. That's when we start to get what we want as black people. And that's when we start to get equality and rights, is when we educate ourselves and not just educating our minds, but look educated, because that's what they fear. Don't let your past determine your future. Don't let that make you as a person. Anything bad you went through, like, don't let that make you. You gotta make you.
I'm Antonio Moore. I'm born and raised East Baltimore. You know, I come from McElderry Park. We call it down the hill where I'm from. It's the other side of Baltimore that they don't show on the TV during halftime during the Ravens game. So I'm 20 years old. I just call myself a student of life, I say. Every single waking second of this day, you get to learn something new. For me, that's been how I've been able to outthink a lot of my surroundings, you know, and think myself into the positions that I'm at today. So I'm always constantly figuring things out and learning. I've been running my own business for the last 2 years, so, you know, I got my hands in a couple few things. You know, I'm investing in real estate. You know, I'm got my own consulting company. I'm just selling my knowledge, not my time. Made a few mistakes growing up. Trouble easy to get into, you know, hard to get out of. But luckily enough, you know, I made a different 10-second decision, you know, that got me where I'm at today. And for a lot of kids, you know, they make a wrong 10-second decision. I think that's the difference between me and a lot of other young people. Me and a homeboy I grew up with, real close with, still to this day, we used to steal cars a lot. So it was one time, we had stayed the night out the county. We coming back into the city, we in a stolen car. I got like $700 on me, right? And I got a 380 pistol in the back. So we riding around, we already dirty, you know, and the car already stolen. And it been more than one day, so the police is looking for it now. So they only, you know, in the city, they wait till 24 hours to look for a car when it's stolen. So it was this block we had down south, and they was on their way to come back to the city and go down to the block and make some more money. But I had a substantial amount of money on me, so I'm just like, you know what, I'm gonna take it back and I'm gonna go back home. Later on that night on Instagram, homeboy might DM me like, yo, they crashed the car, the knockers blitzed them, and they got locked up, you know, and they end up having to go through some consequences behind it. But I really think it was a 10-second decision that, you know, could have changed the trajectory of everything that's going on in my life right now. Who knows where I would have been? Who knows where my mind would have took me if I'd have made it just that different syntax and decision, just stay in the car. The strongest thing for me was coming into realizing I had to become the person I needed growing up. Really taking the different lessons I learned and being able to pour back into my neighborhood to kids that usually don't get that from other people. Master P said it best, man. A hustler can sell anything. Hustle is hustle, right? You know, so for me, teaching them how to outthink their surroundings and to think more critically and differently. Like I said, I'm growing, I'm learning new things every day. So my decision making has changed because not only has it shifted from, you know, easy, convenient, fast money, but it's also shifted from the conventional thinking that a 9-to-5 or a typical, you know, career is a way you can make a living for yourself. So just learning and tapping into different things that we not taught as a community, stuff like real estate, that ain't really been a game we've been playing too well. It's a parable, right? It goes paperwork, make the paperwork. So I learned how to learn the paperwork to make the paperwork. And I think that's where a lot of us go missing, that, you know, we go wrong at. So really just being able to learn different stuff like that, that really affected my decision making, because now I see how the same effort and the same decision making that could be used to doing something negative or doing something more harder can be used to make things more convenient, more fast, and just exponentially grow. We living in a generation, luckily enough, I'm gonna be able to be born in where you can really manifest and become who you wanna be, and where you at is not who you have to be. You know, so I think a lot of young people can take a real good lesson from that. You know, you can make a couple of mistakes. You know, you can choose your own path and take whatever idea you have to the next level. You know, so just learn how to outthink your surroundings.
Hello, I'm Emma Artis, and I am 21 years old. I hadn't been through a lot, and if you look at me, you would never know. So I grew up in West Baltimore, Maryland. I had a grandmother and a mother, no father really figure in my life. I have 7 brothers and sisters, same household. Brothers and sisters always like was in trouble, especially brothers. Went from houses, 11 years old, getting house raided for drug infestations, and went from being homeless. Our house caught on fire and we lost everything. This was my sophomore year in high school. And I was going to school, and my grandma was like my superhero. My mother, she didn't work. She was just more of like, stay home. But I come downstairs, I say, school starting, I need, you know, clothes, shoes, school supplies. And she turned around and said, I can't do it this year. I went upstairs and I cried, and I'm 16, I don't know how to get a job, never had a job. I don't even know what a resume is, I don't know nothing. So I Googled some stuff on my phone and made a resume with no experience, I don't know. And I went online and I got my first job interview, and it was all the way out at Rundle Mills. And I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get out of Rundle Mills every day. And I'm just like, I gotta get on the bus. I found the bus route and I went to the interview, and it was a burger spot inside of the casino. I walked in, it was other people that was interviewing at the same time I was interviewing, but they was way older than me. I'm 16, I don't know nothing. So it was time for me to interview, and I sat down and I just started talking. I started rambling about other stuff, and I'm just like, I need this job, I don't got no money. And I guess he seen, like, he said, skip everything, I guess. Like, he gave me the job, and I was shocked. I started crying in the interview. I'm just like, I just need this job, sir. I don't know. I never worked nowhere before. I just need this job. And he told me, come back. And after that, it been go time ever since. Never stopped since I was 16. So that's what. When I was 19, I graduated high school. 2 days before my graduation, my mom passed away. And it's like, it's those days I remember not being able to, just like, how can I live another day? How can I go another day when it felt like the world is over for me? And the day of the graduation, I sat outside, and I can't make this up. I sat outside, and it's this lady that walked downstairs. I had my cap in my hand, my graduation cap in my hand, sitting on the step early. It was probably like 7 o'clock in the morning. And this lady walked down the street, and she walked past me, and then she stopped. And then she backed up and she said, give me your hand. And I'm like, give me my hand? But I'm like, okay, sure. And she go, whatever you're going through, it's okay. Something told that lady to stop and come back and tell her to hold my hand. And she sat and she prayed for about 2 minutes with me. She just told me, put my head down and don't say nothing. And she did. And I was like, I don't know what that was, but that pushed me through the whole morning before my graduation. And I just kept thinking about that lady. And as I'm about to walk across the stage, I'm like, I'm gonna look into the crowd, and everybody, mother screaming anything. And I don't wanna look into the crowd and see she not there. It just broke me down. I'm just like, you know what? I still gotta do it. I got this far. I don't even know how I graduated. I don't know, cause it's like, it was like a blank. It was a blank dark spot in my life at that moment for a good week or two, and it just, I felt like I didn't want to be on this earth if she not here. I remember coming downstairs, this is probably like a month before my mother passed away, and she was crying on the thing, and I'm like, what are you crying for? What are you crying for? And she just kept saying, my kids is not going to be secure. My kids not going to be secure. And at the time, I'm just like, what are you talking about? And my mother, she did drugs. She did drugs. And after my mother passed away, we found out she was HIV positive. And it's crazy because it's like she didn't tell nobody. She didn't tell none of her kids. And they eat me up every day to this day. Just like, you didn't tell us. Each day you knew you was dying. You knew that. She just kept saying, I feel like everything is about to crash down on me. Everything is about to crash down on me. And then a week later, she was gone. God sent his toughest battles for his strongest soldiers. I would say, you know what? I'm one of his toughest shoulders. He wouldn't send me this tough battle if he knew I couldn't fight it. So that's what I live off of. And now I am got my own house, and I do what I love. Now I'm doing what I love. I teach art at a Port Discovery Children's Museum. I came through it, and I don't know how I did it, but I'm here. And I'm 21, and I haven't even lived half of my life yet. So whatever you're going through, trust me, you probably got some more to go through it. And I'm, you know, just stay strong. You got to. That's it.
That's about going to wrap things up for this episode of Out of the Blocks, featuring young voices from around Baltimore City. We just heard from Emma. We also met Antonio, Davon, Nadja, and Tiandre. I want to say thanks to all of them for sharing their stories and their lives. I also want to say thanks to my co-producer on this episode, Sadiq Ali of Maryland Mentor. It's been a pleasure spending time with you and these young Baltimoreans. Thank you for bringing us all together.
No, likewise. And I appreciate you and the rest of the WYPR team for being open to this idea. And to center young people, I think is very courageous. And I think that we need to do more of it. So for folks that are looking to get involved, please visit us at MarylandMentor.net. We are always, always recruiting for thoughtful, passionate youth advocates as mentors. We have dozens and dozens of mentoring program partners and thousands of young people that not only will you benefit from, but I believe can benefit from being in a relationship with you as well. So don't hesitate to reach out.
You've been listening to Out of the Blocks, an original production of WYPR and PRX. Thanks as always to my partner Wendell Patrick, who creates an original musical score for each episode. And before we go, let me just say you can always find us on Twitter. We're there at Out of the Blocks 1. That's at Out of the Blocks, the number 1. If you like this episode and you want to hear stories from more young voices on the program, let us know. Always happy to hear your feedback. Till the next time, I'm Aaron Henkin. Thanks for listening. Out of the Blocks is supported by PRX and produced with grant funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the National Endowment for the Arts, Patricia and Mark Joseph Shelter Foundation, Inc., the William G. Baker Jr. Memorial Fund, creator of the Baker Artist Portfolios, online at bakerartist.org, and the Maryland State Arts Council at msac.org.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.